You are now listening to A Word for Deliverance with Pastor Leonard Cochran. This podcast is an outreach of a Place of Refuge church located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. For more information, please visit our website at www.apor-noonan.org. Now, let's receive God's word.
Look at what Jesus said to his disciples after he spoke a word of faith to a tree and it dried up from the roots. And it amazed the disciples. And so Jesus said to them, have faith in God. He didn't say have faith in God and the doctor. Didn't say have faith in God and the lawyer. Just simply said have faith in God. And went on to say, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Look at verse 22 again. He told his disciples to have faith in God. And having faith in God, he further told them to use it to speak to the mountains or to the mountain. And based upon that, my subject tonight is just simply speak faith to the mountain. Very simple. But look at someone and just say to him, well, the subject tonight, speak faith. Now let's give God a big hand of praise before we go further. One thing we know about the Word of God is that it is powerful. How many know the word is powerful? We especially know it when we consider scripture. Specifically, when we look at scriptures like Matthew 24 and 35, where Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass, but not my word. Heaven and earth shall pass, but not my word. God's word is going to endure whatever transpires on earth as well as in the heavens. Because God's word has been settled. It has been settled to the point to where it is impossible for it to change, because God's word is in fact God. John 1 and 1 following says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Talks about how everything that was made by the word, and without the word was not anything made that was made. The word is powerful because in the word we see it able not only to create things, but create things to the point to where they will endure. God spoke light, and light came forth, and light has been here ever since God spoke it. God spoke for the sea or water to come forth, and it came forth, and the sea and the water has been here ever since, because the word settles things, cause things to remain. And then Isaiah prophesying on behalf of God in Isaiah 55, 10 and 11 talked about how the rain and the word are similar. Talked about how the rain comes from heaven and it falls upon the earth and it causes the seed to bud and to come forth, bringing vegetables, fruit, and so forth, in order for the sower to have something to eat on. Then he went on to say in Isaiah 55 and 11 that the word was the same way. When he sends forth his word, it's not going to return back unto him void. It's going to do everything that he ordained for it to do. When God sends forth a rhema decreeing that better is here and better is coming, it does not matter what the season is in reference to man. God's word is going to do what he ordained for it to do. What I love about God's word in reference to the church is that whatever God decides to do, he's going to reveal it to his prophets. For Amos 3 and 7 says, surely the Lord God will do nothing unless he reveals his secret or his word unto his servants, the prophets. We get firsthand exposure to what God is about to do on the earth. We get firsthand what season God is about to show up and show out in. We get firsthand what God is going to do to make our life better. That's the reason I have to have the word. Woo! I have to have the word. I thought I would get more help than I'm getting. If you don't like me, tell somebody I gotta have it. Oh God, look at one more person and say, I'll tell you one thing that I don't do. I don't skip church just to be skipping church. I don't miss church just to be missing church. Ain't no headache gonna keep me out of church. Ain't no stomach ache gonna keep me out of church. Even if they're trying to get me to work, I'm going to try to talk my way out of it, because I want to get to the house of God, because I want the word. When it comes to the word, Jesus himself said in Matthew 4 and 4 that man is primarily to live by two things. He mentioned food, but then he mentioned the word of God. The only two things throughout the Bible that God said we needed in order to survive or to live is food and the word. We have to have the word. We have to have food in the sense of something that is material as well as something that is liquid, in that we need that to survive naturally. But when it comes to our life being productive in every aspect, it's going to take the word of God. You have saints that would rather live by the doctor's report than the word. But when you really understand the power of the word, you know that the word of God comes before any other word, before any report, before anything that this person or that person says, whether he or she is a professional or not. Say to your neighbor one more time, I have to have the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by, get this, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Wasn't just talking about the written word. He was talking about the word that he gives to his servants week in and week out. He was specifically talking about the word he gives a church through his pastors week in and week out. A word that will feed them with knowledge and understanding. A word that will feed them with that which gives them know-how. A word that will feed them with the principal thing. Because when you get knowledge and understanding, you get wisdom. And according to the book of Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Why do I need the principal thing? Why do I need knowledge and understanding in order for me to walk in divine wisdom? In order for me to see the power of the word? In order for me to see that when God sends forth a word saying it's going to do this, that, or the other, God will surely bring it to pass. He will surely make what he says good. So it's very important for me to eat up the word. It's very important for me to do what Jesus suggested in the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter, when he talked about we need to hunger and thirst for the word in order to be filled. As a matter of fact, he specifically said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be feel. And there are some of us in here this evening, we know what it is to be filled with the word of God. We know what it is to be filled because of the word of God. Some of us came from a bad state, but once we got the word of God down on the inside of us, that state changed. Some of us came from a bad place, but once we start coming to church and getting that good word down in our spirit, we came out of that bad place. If I'm talking about you, tell somebody it wasn't nothing but the word that brought me out. You ain't happy about it yet. You better shout it at one more person. It wasn't nothing but the word that brought me out. It wasn't nothing but the word that turned me completely around. It wasn't nothing but the word that brought me from being the tail to the head. It wasn't nothing but the word. The word is powerful. But see, we have to get to the point to where even when we are in dire strait or going through fiery trials, that we not only trust the word, but we trust the God that created and bags up his word. You have to trust in the invisible God, the one you have never seen, but has done for you what nobody else has done. You have to trust him with your spirit, your soul, and your body. You have to trust that what he tells you is going to happen despite what you see, despite what you feel, or despite what the game says or saying. You have to trust in your God. Why should I trust in a God that I don't see? Why should I trust in a God that speaks things that are in contrast to the reality of man? And he does do that because God himself used the prophet to say his ways are not as the ways of man. His thoughts are not as the thoughts of man. He even gave us the difference. He said, as high as the heavens are from the earth, so are my thoughts and so are my ways. Why should I trust him? We should trust him based upon Hebrews 6:18, because according to that verse, it is impossible for God to lie. Did you hear me? It is impossible for God to lie. You know, some folks say, I wish I didn't have to lie, but they lie anyway. But it is impossible for God to lie. He can't do it. It's not in his nature. Why? Because he is the way, he's the truth, he is the life. And when God says truth, he is not just speaking that something is going to come into existence. He is speaking what he actually is. You know, John 14:6, Jesus, a God in flesh, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. I'm the one that can give you salvation. For John 8:31 and 32 says, in part, the truth of God will make you free. And see, that's why we should trust him, because we have experienced the salvation of God firsthand. Salvation is threefold. It means first that he delivered us from sin. How many have experienced that? It means secondly that he protected us from danger seen and unseen. How many have experienced that? And finally, it means that he will cause prosperity to come our way. How many have experienced that? That's why we should trust him. But then we can take it further, because our greatest testimonies are about things that God has done in our lives. If you are a child of God, and even if you have just been saved a short time, you have a testimony about something that God has done. You've never seen him, but you can boast about what he has done in your life. Matter of fact, we might as well go ahead and just put the hand up and say, I got a testimony of what God done for me. Look around you. Keep them hands up for a minute. So that's why we should trust him. But see, when it comes to trusting God, it's imperative that we trust him the way he tells us to in his word. And in order to do that, we have to consider Proverbs 3 and 5, which says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Isn't it amazing how smart some of us are? Isn't it amazing how we are able to think and do some incredible things? But as wonderful as you are, when it comes to trusting God, he does not want you to put what you think you know or what you may know in it. He does not want you to lean to your own understanding. Because your understanding, no matter how great it is from a human standpoint, is limited. But when it comes to God's understanding, when it comes to God's knowledge, it is unlimited, because he is omniscient as well as omnipotent. So you cannot try to figure out how God is going to bring you out of a particular thing based upon your understanding, because your understanding will not be able to figure out what an omniscient and an omnipotent God has lined up to take place in your life. So the thing to do is, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you're going to do it because of your track record. You blessed me back then, and you blessed me, and you blessed me in this, that, and the other. And if you did it then, and if you're doing it now, I know you're going to do it again. How many know if God did it one time, he'll do it again? That's the reason Malachi said he changes not in Malachi 3 and 6. He'll do it again and again and again and again. As a matter of fact, some of us, we done messed our own self up time and time and time again. But because of our merciful, our gracious, our kind, our loving God, he still delivered us. He still brought us out time and time and time and time again. Am I talking about you? I gotta trust him, but I can't lean unto my own understanding. I gotta trust him that he's gonna bring me into the promised land and give me houses that I didn't build, give me land that I didn't pay for, just because he said it in his word. Who else can bring people out of Egypt into a land flowing with milk and honey and bless them with something even though they don't have in their pocket what it takes to get it? Nobody can do that but Jesus. Nobody can do that but the Lord. Who else can bring a drug addict, a wine or a crackhead from the bottom to the top and bless them good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over? Can't nobody do that but Jesus. Can't nobody do that but the Lord. Who else can bring a person out of the street and put them in the church and make them into a deacon, a preacher, or a missionary? Can't nobody do that but Jesus. Can't nobody do that but the Lord. Will you look at somebody and tell them, God brought me from a long way, if it be true? Tell them, look at me real good. I ain't always had the clothes that I got on. I ain't always had a nice house to stay in. It wasn't nobody but Jesus that brought me from. And say to your neighbor, as blessed as I am, he ain't done with me yet. He ain't done with me yet. Somebody in here know what I'm talking about. As blessed as you are, you know you're blessed. You know it was God that blessed you to the point that you're blessed. But you also know in a season of better being here and better is coming, that he's not done with you yet. Oh God, somebody ought to be happy by now. I dare you to high five 3 folks if it be true and tell them, God ain't done with me yet. Oh, God ain't done with me yet. That's the reason I gotta trust him. I gotta trust him even though a storm is brewing. I gotta trust him even though trials and tribulations are coming from the north, south, east, and west. I gotta trust him because when all is said and done, he's going to fulfill his. I gotta trust him. Somebody's going through something tonight. The enemy been telling you not to trust him. Your flesh been rising up trying to put a wonder in your spirit. You ain't got to wonder. You ought to have a knowing in your spirit. In the midst of your trouble, you ought to have a knowing so embedded in your spirit that God is going to show up and show out for you the same way he did it the last time. Matter of fact, I might as well just tell you, he's going to do it even greater this time. Because better is, and better is. The disciples had seen Jesus do something great. He just spoke to a tree. And the tree withered, dried up from the roots. And when they saw it, they looked and, Lord, that tree you curse, that tree you talk to, is dried up from the roots. And see, the next words he said to them is the reason nobody needs to lean to their own understanding. Because he spoke a word and killed a tree, and then his explanation for what happened was, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Just trust him. Because that's what it is, from a simplistic standpoint, to have faith in God. Just to trust him. Don't lean to your own understanding. And then he went on to say, because you can speak to this mountain, and if you don't doubt in your heart, and notice this, whatever things you ask or believe is going to happen. Now see, the revelation of what a mountain is actually in the verse. Matter of fact, let's look at it one more time, because this is going to be important to understand what it is to speak to a mountain. Notice he says here in Mark 11 and 23, "For truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Now notice in the verse, the mountains are identified as things. Mountains are a mountain in the text represents things. And literally a mountain is composed of things. Rock, dirt, minerals, etc. So when he talked about the mountain, he was saying, if you speak faith to things and don't doubt, you have what you say. Now breaking it down, a mountain are things. Is first matters of concern, cares. See, Peter understood what Jesus was saying in this instance, because later on in 1 Peter, he told the churches of Asia Minor, cast all of your cares. Cast them things upon God. Why? He cares for you. How you cast? With the mouth. God, I give it to you. Lord, I give these children to you. Lord, this man won't listen to me. I give him to you. Say to your neighbor, there's some things you can give to God. Because he can handle anything. You know God will step up to folks like Sarah and ask the question, is there anything too hard for me? We got any Sarahs in the middle section that still wonder whether or not God can do it? The question tonight to you is there anything too hard for him? And so mountains represent things. But then he says that we have to speak faith to things. Now you have smart folks that say, well, you can speak all you want, but if that thing gonna be moved, you gotta have some money. But understand this, faith will bring forth money. Faith will bring forth whatever is needed to take care of a thing. Because faith is the one thing that will please God according to Hebrews 11 and 6. You know what it says? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is, get this, a rewarder. Biblically is the only place where rewarder is used in a correct sense. You try to go to Webster to get a definition of rewarder, it will always take you to reward, because there are certain things, or certain terms that God uses, man cannot identify with. Man cannot define. Man cannot comprehend. Man cannot perceive. But God, who is the God of earth, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, decreed, if you have faith, he'll turn around and cause you to be a person that receives a reward. God will bless you for having faith. What was it that caused Abraham to come from the bottom to the top? It wasn't nothing but faith. But see, God specifically tonight wants us to look at our mountain or our concerns in life and start speaking to those things. And so we have to consider a couple of passages in order to really understand the significance as well as the power of speaking to things. Because speaking faith works. I said speaking faith works. Y'all ready? Let's go to the book of Matthew. And we're going to the 8th chapter. The book of Matthew, the 8th chapter. Y'all stay with me. I'm going to start at verse 5. Matthew, the 8th chapter, I'm going to start at verse 5. I don't want to quote this. I want you to see it. And notice what happens when it comes to speaking faith. Matthew 8 and 5. Ready? Then when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed." Now remember back in Mark, Jesus told the disciples they need to speak a word. But look at this reverse right here. The centurion is telling Jesus all he has to do is speak a word. Now notice what happens. Verse 8 again. Then the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak only a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." Notice the 10th verse. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, or his disciples, "Assuredly, or truly, I say to you, I have not found such great help me, not even in what?" He heard the man speaking faith, speaking specifically how faith works. What do you mean, Pastor? Notice, before Jesus said he had not found such great faith, notice what the man was saying in reference to the power of speaking faith. He said in verse 9, "I say to this one, go, and he what?
Go.
Come, and he?
Come.
Do this, and he what? See, that's what faith will do. Faith will make things go. Faith will make things come. And faith will make things do. Oh, good God, preach to somebody. Faith will make things. Faith will make things. Preach that to another person. Faith will make things. If you need things to go, faith. You need things to come. You need things to be done. And when Jesus heard it, he said, "I ain't heard this greater faith nowhere in Israel." Let's take it further. Let's go to the book of Mark. Mark, the 5th chapter. We'll start at verse 25. "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew what? Something wrong with that. You gonna put out and not get no better? Something wrong with that. But like it or not, that's the day and time we're living in. You have folks that put out money to professionals, and instead of getting better, they get worse. And when they call themselves taking care of one thing, they create something else. Time for us to wake up, saints. We don't need to start trusting in professionals like the world does. We need to put our God first and recognize that He is our source of salvation. He is our source of healing. He is our source of whatever we need. Didn't Paul say boldly in Philippians 4:19, God will supply all of our according to His riches in glory. Will you go to the doctor, pastor? Yeah, after he tell me to. I'll come to you if he tell me to. But if he doesn't tell me to come to you, I'm not coming. How can you say that? Because I believe scriptures like Proverbs 3:6, that we should acknowledge God in all of our ways and allow Him to direct our path. I would not go unless He tells me to go. I would not give unless He tells me to give. But she grew worse. You see it. Verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind Him in the crowd and touched His garment. And then in verse 28, he goes back to what happened before the woman touched Jesus. Or touched the garment of Jesus. He said, she said, if only I may touch His clothes, I shall be made well. Say to your neighbor, she spoke faith. She said if she did a particular thing, wellness was going to happen. Now, how do you call that faith, pastor? Well, let's continue. Verse 29. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that power had gone out of Him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said to Him, you see the multitude thronging you. Or you see that a whole lot of folks are touching you. Now you see a whole lot of folks touching you to the point to where they are all up against you, and you asking who touched you. Guess what they were doing? Leaning to their own understanding. They were only considering what He asked in the natural. Say to your neighbor, huge mistake. Huge mistake. Because when you do that, you're leaning to your own what? Verse 32. And He looked around to see her who had done this thing. Now He had to look around and find out who did it. Because He knew in looking that the evidence was going to be clear. Why is that? Because when you use your faith, and the manifestation of faith starts to come forth, it's going to be visible. It's going to be something for folk to see. And we should know that as children of God, because remember when everybody used to see you as a wino, farmer wino? And when they seen you in your right mind, and they offered you a drink, and you said you didn't want no drink, they saw faith in a visible way. And see, that's what Jesus was looking for. He knew, based upon how someone had touched Him, that the manifestation had already occurred. And see, depending on how you speak faith and put it into operation, the manifestation of what you are expecting can happen that day, that month, or that year. It just depends on your faith. Are you listening? Now notice this. Verse 33. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole what? And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Now she said she was going to be made what? Well. And then Jesus turned around and said, your faith has made you what? Well. That's the reason certain times when we feel that something is going to happen, go ahead and speak it and put it into operation. Man, it was one day about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I just felt that I needed to go to a particular place because a blessing was waiting there for me. I mean, I felt that it was just in me, and I told my wife, I said, look, we got to go to Atlanta. I said, there's a blessing up there waiting on me. I said, we got to go. We got in that car. In my truck, we went on up to Atlanta. Long story short, my blessing was waiting on me right now. In the form of, I've been to tell y'all my business. But say to your neighbor, his blessing was waiting on him. But get this, I felt it. And see, sometimes when your faith causes you to feel something down in your spirit, you need to act upon that. I'm having folk that tell me stuff like, you know, I felt like I needed to go, but I didn't have no money and I didn't want to ask nobody for it. Are you crazy? Would be my words to them. If you feel that your blessing is there, even if you got to drive your car far enough and run out of gas and then walk the rest of the way, when you feel that God is getting ready to do something for you, you don't let anything or anybody hinder you from your blessing. You have to see yourself different from other folk. The woman saw herself different from everybody else that was touching Jesus. They were touching him, but she said, if I touch him, if I touch the hem of his clothes, I'm going to be made well. Well, it didn't work for, it may not have worked for her, but it's going to work for me. But your credit works, I don't care about that. I just know in my being that if I do it, God is going to bless me. I wonder how many folk in here, you ever felt something down on the inside of you and you didn't act on it. You miss your blessing. Felt even though you didn't have the money, you needed to go and look at a car. And then, I better wait. Let me see what they're going to do about this raise and then I'll go. You done messed up your blessing. Yeah, I really feel like I need to, but I'm just going to wait. You done mess up your blessing. I don't let a feeling go by, and I know it's a God kind of feeling. When I get a God kind of feeling about anything, I act on it. I am not going to miss my blessing. You may be able to say out of your mouth, well, I don't really need to do it, but I don't want to miss anything that God has ordained for me to have. And I believe there's some more folk in here. You don't want to miss anything God has ordained for you to have. Am I talking about you? So look at somebody and say, the next time you get a God kind of feeling, you better act on it, because something great will happen when you get a God kind of feeling based upon what happened to this woman. And you hear them crazy folks say, well, it ain't about that feeling. You can't trust feeling. It's some feelings you can trust. When it's a God kind of feeling, you can trust it. I'll drive 1,000 miles if I get a God kind of feeling. I'll get out of my bed, put on my clothes, and depending on the urgency, I may or may not wash off. That's how much I believe in getting what God has ordained for me to have. You know what you call that? Hunger. And those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled or get their blessing. Am I talking about you? And notice this. He told them that they needed to speak to mountains, which represent things. And he talked about how the mountain would be cast into the sea based upon them speaking it. In my close, I need to show you this. Go with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus, second book of the Bible, right? For clarity, I'm going to start at verse 26. But what I want you to see is the last sentence in verse 27. But Exodus 14, 26, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians on their chariots and on their horsemen. Now let me just stop there for a minute. Now God just told Moses, stretch out his hand over the sea. And look what he said was going to happen. So waters may come back upon the Egyptians on their chariots and on their horsemen. Now you know naturally, speaking, if I put up my hands just on my own, ain't nothing gonna happen like that. Moses had to do it having faith in who? So basically he was saying to Moses what he was saying to his disciples, or what Jesus was saying to his disciples in Mark 11. Have faith in God. Put up your hands, and I'm gonna cause the water or the sea to basically overthrow the Egyptians. That's what I'm gonna do. Just put up your hands. Say to your neighbor, there it is again. When you trust in God, you can't lean. Finish it. And notice what happened. Verse 27. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. And this is what I want you to get, the primary thing. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Say to your neighbor, the reason the Lord wants you to cast things into the sea, and of course we're looking at sea in a figurative sense, is because the sea is the place of divine overthrowing. To overthrow means to knock down. Or to stop the power of. To knock down or to stop the power of. See what happens when we begin to speak faith. Whatever virtue is in a particular thing, God causes that strength to diminish. That's what happened to the fig tree. When he spoke it, he caused the strength that caused the fig tree to grow to diminish. When he overthrew Pharaoh and the Egyptians in the sea, he caused their strength to diminish. He took them out. And see, what God is saying, when you speak faith in reference to matters that concern you, well, the problems of something else, by you speaking it in faith, it's going to cause him to cause those things to be taken down. Get this. Whether he does it immediately, in a week, or in a month, it's going to come to fruition when we speak in faith. Look at what happened. Moses recognized that when he did it, that the next day the water was back to normal, but the Egyptians were nowhere to be seen because God had overthrew them. And God wants his children to start speaking to mountains and trusting him to take our mountains of matters of concern out. And I'm done.